Welcome to this week's FPL Double Up podcast. This week, I'm joined by Lynn FPL, not Heisenberg. Wes is a bit busy today. So, Lynn, look, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you. We've been trying to get a few more guests. It's always great to spice it up instead of people just listening to me and Wes talk shit every week. But, Lynn, how's your season going?
Well, it's a strange one, isn't it? I'm not having the best season, but it could be worse, I guess.
It's one of those, I think, like, in terms of enjoyment of FPL, I was talking to someone about this the other day, and I think it's, for the pure FPL diehards, it's a great season to get a good rank, I think, in many ways, and it's also a great season to get a terrible rank, and I'll kind of elaborate on that. I think there's never been a season that planning counts for so much, so I think to the average punter who works in the office, who plays FPL, they're at a massive disadvantage this season because you really need to have your ear to the ground following Ben Crellin on fixture planning on blanks and doubles and postponements and leaving your transfers late. And there's so much to do there. But equally, people who have done all the planning in the world have been crucified at times, as we've seen this week. A lot of people optimizing with some United players, Liverpool players based on fixtures and whatever else. And we've seen some horror scores this week. Like, this is one of the craziest weeks. So it's a great week to be on.
Yeah, for me, it's been quite the opposite, I would say. Like all of my hard work, my spreadsheets and my planning has just been, I've had to put them in the bin, basically. And when I started to play more week by week, I started doing better.
Yeah, did you start, I think at the start of the season, everyone who planned all summer got crucified by like Kane and Son, I remember.
Yeah, I went early on City. That was not a good move.
Yeah. We all got killed by that. But yeah, I suppose going week to week is something a lot of us have started recently. But even then, like, you know, a lot of people started feeling safe with a lot of, you know, COVID cases are down, everything else. Mm. And then we get hit by fans. Do you know?
That's very true.
But I seen a couple of things around this that I found quite interesting. One was, just a shout out to General. I seen he got, like, you know, one of the arguably the best managers out there.
Yeah.
Scored 20 points this week and overall rank of 7.7 million. So, dear Lord, you know, if you got 25 points, you did, what, like 25% better than FPL General this week. So, don't be upset. I don't know, how much did you end up with this week? Did you have many United and Liverpool players?
Yeah, I had 4 in total. So, I had just sold Bruno. So, that was actually pretty good. Got 2 points of my replacements, but I'll take those 2 points.
Who did you bring in?
Sigurdsson.
Oh, yeah? I've seen a few people getting Sigurdsson in recently, and he's like, he didn't get in this week.
No.
He's a ballsy enough call, but I suppose Everton have great fixtures, and there are a few questions on this a bit later, because I think they have the double and a single fixture, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They're one of the like 4 or 5 teams that sort of tick that box. Possibly 6 teams, but we'll talk about that. Maybe a United Liverpool rescheduling could come in there, but I think Everton, actually a lot of people had Dominic Calvert-Lewin, and he played pretty well in that fixture against, wasn't it, Villa at the weekend. He got a goal, he probably should have had 2, stuck his head in a great place. very brave of him, but it was a great save by Emi Martinez. But I mean, if we look at the fixtures they have, we'll get into that, but I think Everton could be a team I'm targeting. The other thing I wanted to talk about the kind of United and Liverpool was that I seen your tweet on Sunday saying you had 20 points and 3 players to go. When similar things have happened in the Bundesliga, you'd get the average points for a player instead of 0. You wish the Premier League would take after that. How does that work? Like,
now, they will count the average points for the player. I don't know for how many game weeks. But say 4 or 5 game weeks, and you get the average. And then when they actually play, you don't get any points.
So is that of that player over the last 4 or 5 game weeks, or of the average position score?
No, of that player.
So you could almost get a player who's on red hot form and hope they don't play because you get the average of their last games?
Yeah, that would be amazing. And you can kind of target, like, if you know a team's got COVID or something and you know they're going to be out for 2 or 3 weeks, and you can definitely target those players because, you know, you will get those points for sure.
I don't know how I feel about that. That's a bit mad. So, like, if we had a Lingard-esque performance and you knew Lingard, is it different if they're injured? Like, could you, if he had 5 game weeks of, like, 10 pointers and then he breaks his leg, could you be like, leave him in for the rest of the season.
You still get the average, because then he'll maybe miss one game and get the average of the other ones.
And do you think that'd be better? You do?
I think so, because I think it would mess less with people's teams and plans in some ways.
It would definitely add a whole other dimension to planning, wouldn't it? Mm. Like strategy.
It would be a bit safer, maybe a bit boring in some ways, but definitely safer, and I think a lot less anger.
Yeah. Because I think this season people have become more accustomed to rotation and people not playing and last minute sort of players getting benched and whatever else. But I think this weekend was a little bit harder to take because it was so last minute and so many people had, I had 5 players in that game. I ended up thankfully fielding a team of 10 in the end and didn't do great. I think I got 35 points or something. Yeah. But I think in the game week that was in it, I'm happy with that considering at 5 from the, the cancelled fixtures, but cancelled fixture. But I think the things like this, we talk regularly enough on the podcast about changes we'd make or different ways to look at things, but you've been playing FPL for what, between 5 and 10 years now, is it 8 or 9 years?
Yeah, I think it's 7 years maybe.
7 years. Like FPL are notoriously kind of slow to act or change anything.
Yeah.
You know, now there've been big changes with chips in recent years and stuff, but they don't tend to change things for the sake of changing them each season, so I don't know. Be interesting to see if anything like that ever did happen, but I wouldn't be putting my money on it.
Probably not.
No. But Lynn, look, one other quick thing, just for my little intro notes here. You're from Zlatan country.
Yes, that's
correct.
That's
what it's known as in the football world.
Yes, that's since I am from Sweden but I live in Norway, so I kind of feel like I can claim both Zlatan and Holland.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. Do you think Haaland could go on to have anywhere near the career that Zlatan had? Big ask.
If he just stays injury free, I definitely think he can. He's very talented and eager, and yeah, he's got the hunger.
He's definitely, I think it's very easy to compare Haaland to Zlatan because of their physical attributes and how big he is and all, but even I find off the pitch, but we maybe don't see in the media so much here unless you're following certain Twitter accounts or Instagram accounts or following the Bundesliga. Haaland in his sort of post-match conferences and stuff is absolutely hilarious. He's a proper character. So and he's all about his own, owning his sort of personal image and being his own personal brand and whatever else. So I can see, I think the comparisons to Zlatan are somewhat less lazy than they might seem at first. Because obviously Zlatan's dominated the media for years with his, what was it he did before? He's done so many things. But you remember did he give his wife a picture of him for Christmas? Or did he he got all his teammates PlayStation 5s with his signature on them and stuff? He's done
he did that.
And there's always the quotes what was it? Who's the best striker in the Premier League Premier League's ever seen? Wasn't that one of them? I forget this quote.
I could definitely be Zlatan. Sounds like Zlatan.
He said, he was asked something I'm going to butcher this and people at home are screaming it, I'd say, but it was who's the best striker there in the Premier League? Other than you, of course, or anyway, they didn't even give him that out. They were who's the best striker in the Premier League? And I think he was Aguero's great and obviously such and such is brilliant. And they're what about yourself? And he's lions don't compare themselves to men. And it's oh my God.
Yeah.
But we'll miss him when he retires. He's he's tearing it up in Serie A with AC Milan at the minute.
Is he ever going to retire? I'm not sure.
I don't know. He could get away with playing championship football until he's 50 probably. But Lynn, look, is there anything you wanted to talk about on that United Liverpool sort of wrecking everyone's game weeks or elaborate on before we move into some questions?
No, all I want to say is Glazers out, go United.
That's it, yeah. You're a Liverpool fan, are you? Are you a United fan? You're Liverpool.
I am definitely Liverpool.
Yeah, just
but in times like these, we footballers, we need to stick together.
Yeah.
No one wants shitty owners. We can all understand and relate.
I think it's brilliant, what Carragher and Gary Neville's kind of relationship has done with that, with the tensions there. Because, they're teaming up on all these sorts of things and all, but because I was sure you're a Liverpool fan, and then when you said go United, I was what? Did I get it wrong? Did I get the wrong Reds?
No.
But, yeah, look, it's, I think, there's many other podcasts. I don't really want to get too deep into sort of the Super League and what these clubs have done, but I think it's clear for everyone listening. And I don't even know if me and Wes have recorded a podcast since it happened. Might have done a stream. But madness and fucking, I hope they're crucified over it. Like, I hope they don't get away, and I hope it's not forgotten about whenever the Euros comes around and all the attention's elsewhere. It'd be nice to see these clubs hung out to dry. Well, not the clubs themselves, and not the players, and not the staff, but the directors and all those people, all the bigwigs. So yeah, look, before we get into some questions, very quickly, me and Wes are streaming on the Fantasy Football Hub YouTube this Friday at 12:30. So Wes can't make it today, unfortunately, but you get to hear from him then, hear a bit about his team and our plans, and we'll probably take some questions live. So if you have any questions for us, you want to chuck at us, hit us up in the comments, and we'll be there at 12:30 live. Right, first question, and it always seems to be Rich is the first question, because he's so good at asking questions. He has a question for you, Lynn. Who's your favourite ever Liverpool player?
Oh, that's an easy one. Stevie G? Yeah, might be a bit boring answer, but he's just fantastic in every way. Talented player, super good human being.
Mm. Fan favourite. He's off managing Rangers, isn't he? They're doing really well.
Mm. Yeah.
I think they're like...
He's practising.
Yeah.
Can I come to Liverpool?
And it'll happen. Do you think it's too soon, if like Klopp was to leave this summer, next summer, the summer after, do you think there'll be a manager in between, or do you think he could take over?
I think we need someone in between, someone who doesn't do a great job and then Stevie comes and saves today.
Yeah,
that would be the best, I think.
You take that.
Klopp's shoes are going to be big to fill.
And I
do want him to succeed, so yeah.
It's easy to forget the mad job that he's actually done at Liverpool, you know. Now, it's not easy to forget, no one's forgetting, but I mean, this season hasn't been great in many ways, but like what's happened over the last 2 to 3 years, the two Champions League finals, winning one of them, and everything else, the team, the style of football, you know, it's insane what Klopp's done there. So yeah, look, I hope Liverpool have a resurgence, because it's great for FPL, it's great for just football content in general, whenever they are playing well. But it has been a bit of a rocky season in total, really. I'm very happy to see Trent coming back into some form.
Yeah,
because he's like first name in a lot of FPL team sheets usually, but it's been kind of hard this season with him, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think a lot of players, the confidence has just not been there.
Mm.
And you can especially see it in the young ones like Trent. He's been struggling.
Yeah, has Curtis Jones been playing much?
Not lately, has he?
I don't think so. You see, because I'm thinking, like, Liverpool, like, well, there are some young players who've done absolutely phenomenal. Like, I think it's because there's so little rotation in that squad usually. It's not like City where, well, not necessarily that City are particularly big promoters of youth, but let me think who, like United. I think United have some mad stat about promoting youth, by the way. I don't have it to hand, but, like, what I'm trying to get at here is, like, Liverpool, I think because they're such a nailed squad and they've been so consistent and they're so injury-free usually, not necessarily in defence this season, but there's so little rotation and there can be quite limited opportunities, really, I think, for a lot of their academy players. But, I mean, I suppose Klopp's brought a few crackers in the last couple of years, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. And now we've got Nat Phillips filling in, and well, it's actually kind of working.
Yeah, I have him. I think he's amazing for 4 million. I was actually gutted because he was still like an orange flag, I think, in FPL. And whenever he... Yeah. It is not Phillips, isn't it? Yeah. Whenever he was on the team sheet to start on Sunday, I was like, get in, like that's going to save the game week a bit here. And then disaster hit. But anyway, the question that Rich had for both of us was, who's the best player under 10% ownership to own for the remainder of the season? Now, I don't know if you've got your percentages in front of you, but I'm going to whip one out straight off the bat, and I think it's just based off fixtures it's under 10%, so it is a bit of a differential. I'm just going to go for Lucas Digne at Everton. Now, there's probably better players further up the pitch and stuff, but he's just the first one that comes to mind because he's someone I'm really considering getting in. I think he looked dangerous at the weekend, had an assist, probably could have had two or three. 9.5% ownership, so I'm right on the limits there, and Everton have the double with West Ham and Villa, and then they've got Sheffield, which is a great fixture, Wolves, and then just in time, you could probably get rid of him for the final fixture against City or bench him. Is there anyone that jumps out at you?
Oh yeah, Gareth Bale.
What's his percentage?
It's actually, I was so surprised when I saw it. It's 3.5.
That's mad, isn't it?
It is. I was so surprised. But yeah, that would be my number one for sure.
I think I missed the fact, I knew you got the hat trick and all, obviously, but I think I missed that it was off the back of another goal against Southampton. So yeah, I think Bale's actually a way better option than I kind of had in my head, because like, new manager, get more opportunities, and the goals were class, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. I think, like he said himself, as long as he gets to play and get some game time, he will score.
Mm. It's true. Because he's been in and out all season, hasn't he? But whenever he's in and he's playing 90 minutes, even 60, 70 minutes, if you look at his history, like, he has been getting points. It's these little bit part appearances of 9 minutes here, 8 minutes there, 18 minutes, 45 minutes, 20 minutes. He's not doing much then, but whenever he's got... He had 2 appearances where he had 69 minutes, and in both he got 2 goals. And he got there a second. I think I might have unearthed a cool stat here.
Mm.
Any time, bar once actually, that he's played more than, for some reason, 69 minutes, he scored at least one goal.
Yeah.
Like, whenever he gets the game, you're right, he scores. I think he could be a cracker, actually.
Yeah, so Bale.
Bale.
Go get Bale.
Go get Bale. They could actually be 2 of my transfers this week. I need to wait and see. Something we need to discuss is 35 and 36, the doubles and blanks. Now, Ben Crellin, who often gets a shout out in the podcast, has put a spreadsheet out here, but it's looking like the only question mark really that remains now is, will Liverpool and United have a blank in 36 or not? Unless that's been confirmed today or something. Let me just check.
I've not seen anything.
Yeah.
It would be fantastic if they got a double.
Yeah, so, well, I think they've got the double in 35. And the way it's looking at the minute is they're at the minute they have a blank in 36, which kind of screws a lot of people, because there's a lot of people who have a lot of their players. But there's talks that it's the only logical place for the rescheduling of that game would be 36. Mm. So they would kind of fall into that category of doubles with no blank then, along with Villa, Palace, Everton and Southampton. So if that's the case... You know, it really makes them 10x more appealing, and it kind of changes my transfers, because if I thought they'd the blank afterwards, you know, you got rid of Bruno last week, you're saying, I'd be tempted to maybe pull the trigger there. Or even like downgrading Trent to Lucas Digne and going elsewhere, but a lot hinges on whether or not they do blank.
Yep, definitely.
So look, we'll keep our ears to the ground for that, and hopefully by when Friday in the live stream on the Hub channel, me and Wes will have an update on that. But what was the question? I went off on a tangent there, Lynn. Best player 110%.
Differential, yeah. For the rest of the season.
So look, we picked one each. There's many more out there. Thank you for the question, Rich. FPL350 says, with no chips left, would you guys attack the double game week at the expense of the game week 36? Or save your transfers for the blank game week and replace Leicester assets, for example, who have a bad run after the blank, or perhaps a balanced approach. So I suppose what FPL350 is saying is, are you going balls to the wall and attacking the double? Or are you... I think what's tough here is that a lot of the teams that actually have a double and then fixtures aren't exactly playing amazing. Well, actually, maybe they are playing pretty good, but they aren't really premium assets, if you know. So like, there's Villa. Without Grealish, they haven't really been the same or anywhere near as predictable. Maybe Watkins has been in pretty good form, so we might see some people go for Watkins. Do you have any Villa players?
Well, I have Watkins and I have Martinez.
I've still got Martinez. Hasn't been doing quite as well as he did mid-season, but still picking up the occasional save point, isn't he?
Yeah, he does. But it's also like, goalkeepers is the last one I will replace in my team. And well, I'm sitting with McCarthy as well, and he actually got a game now. But it sounds like he forced this back on, so I really don't know what to do.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm just going to stick him in goal and hope for some save points, I guess.
I am hoping for a wee fluky clean sheet or something. Cracking keeper. I wouldn't be surprised if he actually left Villa and went somewhere like a top club. But what was I going on there? So like, the likes of Villa, okay. Villa, whatever. Crystal Palace, there's a lot of talk of Zaha at the minute, but outside that, does anyone jump out at you?
Well, he's had his groin issue now, and I think we just need to wait for the presser to get more information before we make any decision on him.
I'm looking there. Like, they do, he's okay fixtures. The double's great fixtures, to be fair, Sheffield and Southampton. I think there is a question coming up later about whether it's an unnecessary risk, and I think that midfield is stacked as it is, so maybe there's other options. For me, the standouts are Everton. You know, they played well. They have West Ham and Villa in the double, then they've Sheffield, which is a cracking fixture. Everyone will be targeting it. It's great captaincy options there too for the game week 36. And then 37 against Wolves isn't a bad fixture. City in 38 is the kicker, like, but other than that, then you've got Southampton. So I think, like, it is making people think, do we have to go balls to the wall in 35 and take the hit in 36 for some of these? Because maybe you would prefer, and I don't know, I'm just going to pick a couple here, but maybe you might prefer Iheanacho or Vardy against Newcastle and United over the likes of, well, I wouldn't pick, that's a bad example. Let me see. Watkins against United, Everton and Palace. Do you know what I mean? Like, if someone would prefer certain players in two fixtures over other players in three fixtures, do you take that hit, or do you, like, it's all about balance. I think it's a hard one.
Balance, and also I think double games are quite often overrated.
Mm.
You might get lucky once in a while, but overall it's a big disappointment, I'd say.
A lot of rotation as well.
Mm.
A lot of risk, but I think the way I'd be playing this 350 is I will be looking at the players that I have that don't have a double this week. And let me see. I'm going to look at the number of double game week players I have. I'll try and get as many as I possibly can. What's killing me is I probably have all that I need if Liverpool and United's confirmed. If it's not confirmed, I might have to make a wee transfer or two to get more doubles in. And if I'm doing that, I'd probably target Everton personally, or at a push at James Ward-Prowse. You know, Liverpool and Palace, then Fulham and Leeds and West Ham. He could get a couple of goals there. I don't know. Something like that, maybe. But I think it is hard to justify transferring in now for the double. Arsenal players, Chelsea players, Leicester players who are likely to blank, because you're just kind of shafting yourself unless you can afford to bench them for a week.
Yes, also they're not just likely to blank. They don't actually have the best fixtures.
That's fair.
At the end of this run. So, yeah. I think it's time to take a punt on something fun.
But that's it. We're well and truly at that stage. You know, we've been discussing whether we're at that stage for weeks, but I think now it's like no one can deny it. It's like, if you're chasing, it's time to go, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I think, like, Arsenal have West Brom. So the way I'd be looking at this is Arsenal against West Brom. You'd hope you'd get something. I don't even know who I'd pick, to be honest with you. And I'm not really even advocating this. I don't think I've had an Arsenal player all season since Saka in my first draft. But Chelsea, tough fixture. Then they blank. If you can afford to bench them for that week, which is probably unlikely based on the teams missing out, Crystal Palace and Brighton is a solid enough finish. So I can see that. But, like, Chelsea have City, Arsenal, blank, Leicester and Villa. Like, ugh. I don't like that. And then even Leicester, like, I've got Vardy and Iheanacho, but, like, and a lot of people have Castagne, or they'll have another Leicester player, Madison maybe. Newcastle, great fixture. United might get something, but not great. Blank, Chelsea, Tottenham. That's shocking. Like, I wouldn't be bringing in anyone from Chelsea or Leicester at the minute. But then,
not at all.
So then, yeah, that kind of goes back to the question. It's all about balance. I wouldn't be going balls to the wall for the double. I think I've answered my question, because I wouldn't be getting in Leicester or Chelsea for the double because of the blank and also their shite fixtures afterwards. So, yeah. Anything else on that, Lynn?
No, I completely agree with you. It's also like just finding the balance, and depending on what your team looks like now, try to not take too many hits.
Yeah. I think that's always a big thing. Like, people ask questions and it's all team dependent, isn't it? There's no real answer to a lot of questions you get in FPL podcasts. Yeah. It's all like, it depends on this and this and this and that. And yeah, it can be hard to answer sometimes. And I find myself going around in circles because it's all depending on this and little nuances and caveats. And yeah, maybe do this, but only if this and that. And that's definitely one of those questions. Right. Next one I have here, Slytherin's Basilisk at Snake FPL. Obviously a Harry Potter fan. Who are the best options to target for blank game week 36 that still have doubles in 35? So basically, we're kind of going back, and I've already kind of covered this, but just in case there's anyone else you have in your mind, we're talking about Villa, Palace, Everton and Southampton, who have the double and then a single in 36. And as I said, United and Liverpool could be added into that bracket, but it's unconfirmed. So from those teams, is there anyone that you really like? I've mentioned a few of them, but is there anyone who hasn't been mentioned?
Well, I guess we could chat a bit about Crystal Palace defenders. Hmm. Mitchell seems to be back on, and Van Aanholt is not. And he is the most attacking defender. So if you're happy with maybe 6 points, then I would go Ward probably.
Yeah, I seen it was City they played at the weekend, wasn't it?
Mm.
And Sterling was clean through. Some great defending from Mitchell that didn't deny him, really. But is Van Aanholt, did you say Van Aanholt's back? He is, or is he out?
He's back, but he was benched this week for Mitchell.
Oh, yeah. He's not owned by too many people, I don't think. Like, what's he owned by? Van Aanholt, 0.4%. Remember Van Aanholt was the man?
He was a few seasons ago. Yeah. He did best.
He was the absolute man. Like, what happened there? But yeah, I don't know. Where's Ward? Ward there, 4.3 million. Plays every week. Some solid fixtures. Sheffield, Southampton, Villa. And then you have Arsenal and Liverpool. But like, yeah, Palace, fair enough. I don't think it's where I'll be going, but I mean, great shouts, and they could definitely keep a clean sheet in a couple of those games. I think Eberechi Eze looks like a proper player. He's obviously not getting the returns really required to be considered an FPL this season, but I could see him going on to be something special. Like, for his age, he looks brilliant.
Mm.
I seen a stat the other day, actually. I think, like, you know Milivojevic?
Yeah.
He's got something like the third or fourth best penalty record in the Premier League's history or something. After like,
yeah, was it 2 seasons ago? He was taking so many penalties. It was like a must-have for most of the season.
Mm. I remember him, again, being the man. Crystal Palace had a few of them. Let me see, no one else there really jumps out. Benteke should have probably scored a header at the weekend, but yeah, we're not getting into Benteke chat. Other than that, I think like Villa, for me really it's Watkins, or a lot of people will have Martinez and Nets and don't want to shift him. I find it hard. I think when Grealish is there and he's playing, he's the guy, but I don't know if we'll ever get a chance to pick Grealish as a Villa player in FPL again. He could be going this summer very easy. For me, the standout, as I already said, is Everton. I think there's a few options there. I think you have differentials. I think they're all, not all of them, but even the popular ones aren't exactly highly owned, and the differential ones are proper differentials, and I think they're fixtures and stuff. I just think, yeah, Everton's probably where I'd be going.
Yeah, same.
And then with Southampton, again, as I said, I think up top they've been somewhere you can't count on them this season, but I think Ward-Prowse is a budget kind of option. Maybe if you want the differential, he's always good for a penalty or a set piece, assist or goal. So yeah. Right. And more on that, Lynn?
Quick mention, Southampton. Armstrong has been pretty good. He seems to get returns almost every game.
Let me check him out.
Doesn't get double digits, but...
Yeah, consistent.
Assist here and there and a goal here and there. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, great shout. Not 0.4%. 5.5 million, which is cheap enough. Like, again, I find midfield so competitive this season, but... You're right, you know, he's actually got 4 goals and 6 assists this season. He plays every week, and he's getting assists. He's getting a goal every so often. Like, so yeah, there's definitely worse options out there if you're looking to target Southampton for those fixtures. Okay, FPL Adarsh says, is it time to consider high-risk, high-reward players like Bale and Aguero for high-ownership players like Lingard and Bamford who are not delivering? So yeah, you've already discussed Bale. I think Bale's a great shout. Aguero obviously back in the mix at City. Let me just check Aguero. Do we think he'll get more game time?
Probably, but yeah, he got one goal. Doesn't mean Aguero is back.
Mm.
I would probably look at Antonio or Wood rather than Aguero if I was going to target fixtures and players in form.
Wood is in incredible form. And do you know what sickens me? I think it was... When was it? It was like a week or two before that 20-point haul. I had him. I clicked him in for someone. And I was thinking, he's a great differential. He's a good one to get in. And I had like... It was one of those, again, where you have two transfers, Wood on someone, or you change Wood to like Vardy and get a shiter player at the back or whatever. And that's what it did. And then I've had like a series of those over the past 5 weeks and I'm just in free fall. Yeah. Like, but yeah, good shout. Wood. I'm looking there, sorry, at, what was I even looking at? Yeah, Aguero. Like, I think it's funny because, like, Pep, I think he, well, now that the league's done, more or less, almost as a farewell to Aguero, I can see him getting a lot of game time, you know, trying to increase the records he's already set, being the guy in the league and leaving and just sticking to the tried and tested formula that is City this season in the Champions League. Do you know, I can see Aguero being like a league player now for the last few fixtures, but is he consistent enough in terms of injuries, rotation, and even just the fixtures and his goal scoring and their focus is going to be elsewhere? Like, is it worth the risk? And he's still priced it's premium. Also,
we need to think about the players he's got around him. Who will cross the balls? Can, like, the build-up? I guess Pep's going to play the ones he doesn't play in the Champions League.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you're not going to get KDB feeding him in.
The best quality.
I think, like, what was I about to say? I think with Aguero, oh God, he's 10.3 million. That's what I was going to say. He's 10.3 million. Like, and it's fair given his history. Like, if you look at his goals scored in the Premier League, it's obscene. Do you know, it's obscene. But whenever we really look at it, like 10.3 million, you can buy Vardy for cheaper than that. Or like around that price, depends. Yeah, same price. And I know Vardy's not in great form either, but I think on the law of averages and the risks to rotation, the team, injuries, everything else, I just think like picking Aguero over Vardy, again, yeah, that's literally the question at hand. Is it time to consider high risk, high reward players like Bale and Aguero? I think then you get into the whole topic of it depends on your goals, where you're at. Are you chasing someone in a mini league who has Vardy and all the rest? Do you know? I think it's so specific then. For me, I'm not there yet. I'm not going to go Vardy to Aguero. But if you want to, like, good luck. Bon voyage. Like, that's a bit mad to me. But again, we're back to, like, it's all just about picking players that you think are going to score the most points. Do you think Aguero's going to score more points than Vardy? I don't. And that's just Vardy I'm choosing. There's a few other forwards there. Will he score more than Chris Wood? I don't even know if he'd score more than Chris Wood. Do you know?
I never thought I would hear that question and say, no, I don't.
I know. It shows what how Aguero's sort of last year or two's gone. But his finish the weekend was exceptional, that said. Right. One more question, I think, and then we're going to discuss captaincy. So, FPL The Invincible says, best defender until the end of the season, playing in both 35 and 36. Again, a lot of these questions are around the same topic, but if you find that kind of happens, I think, whenever there's only 4 weeks left, there's only so much strategy you can talk about and only so much to decide. You know, everyone's on a template at this stage, more or less, and it's all just about those one or two key decisions of differentials and whatever. So, like, we are talking about the same points with all these questions, more or less, because there aren't many other topics to discuss. So, again, just to reiterate, I'd say that for me, the standout on that question about the defender to the end of the season, who plays in both, you have to be looking at Lucas Digne, or maybe another Everton player, Keane, some people seem to like. If Liverpool and United are confirmed, I'd maybe look there, but what were you going to say?
If you're not too obsessed with the double game, you've got Dallas, you've got Cresswell as well. You've got potentially Trent if he doesn't blank.
Absolutely. Do you know, like, West Ham's fixtures there are great.
Yeah, so I wouldn't stare blindly at the double game week. There are good options.
Yeah, I mean, outside the double, you know, there are some great fixtures there. Like, even the Tottenham lads, like, they play Leeds this week. They could score get another 4 or 5 goals there. Quite feasibly. Do you know? Like, so Bale could very well outscore Bruno based on current form. Do you know? Quite feasibly with a single. So you're right, I think that's almost one flaw of this podcast so far. I've been so focused on the doubles, and the questions have been as well, that maybe we haven't even discussed.
I think most people are, because it's like a double game where you get double chance, but yeah. Like I said, I've had too many disappointments in double game week, so I'm like a bit, I just want to get in good players and hope for the best.
Because, I mean, like, looking down there, like Burnley with Chris Wood and that, like, he has Fulham this week. Like, Chris Wood could have a great week. Brighton, Here, Brighton, how good did you watch? I don't know if you've seen that or even the highlights. How good did Welbeck look, and how good was his finish?
Yeah, he looked great.
I wonder what his...
The old Welbeck is back.
I hate how horrible his career's been in terms of injuries, so it's lovely to see him scoring. There's so many players like that who just disappear and they come back, and it's lovely to see it. It's like Lingard, you know, United young lads. Not young anymore, but at the time they seemed young and they were very full of potential, whatever else, and injuries plagued one and maybe just shite form plagued the other, but it's great to see them both back at it. But yeah, look, I don't know if I would be targeting Welbeck, but he's a hell of a differential, less than 1% ownership, tough enough fixtures, but he looked amazing at the weekend. So yeah, I think that's maybe the last thing to drill home, like, to people, just don't completely blindside the singles. Obviously, we're going to focus on the doubles, but don't completely ignore the singles, because there are some great fixtures in there. But I think you'd be hard pushed to find someone who captains someone in them. I'm talking of captaincy. Who would be your captain for this week? If you could choose any player, not even just your squad, and then your squad, might be the same player.
I would probably go with DCL for this.
Yeah, I have to agree there. I don't have him, but I might bring him in just to captain him.
Same.
Feels like a bit of a waste though, because I've got Vardy, who's a double, and he's the one who'd be making way, so it kind of feels like... But then there's the blank you're saving yourself from as well. That'll probably be a common move. Like last week, it seemed to be Bruno to Son was the move for a lot of people. Is that who you brought in for Bruno? You brought in Sigurdsson, didn't you?
Sigurdsson, yeah.
But this week, I think the kind of meta move will be Vardy to DCL if people have the luxury of not a lot of other fires to fight. But I'd say DCL. Is there anyone who stands out to you?
Yeah, or Dean. Go with a defender.
So Everton's very firmly where you're putting the band. Are you going to do it?
Yeah, I think so. I like captaining defenders.
Yeah, it's not something I don't even know if I've done it this season. I don't actually know if I've done it once this season. Maybe Dallas in a double or something, I can't remember, but like, yeah. No, have you done it much?
I've been on Trent, Shaw, Castagnier.
Did it work out?
Castagnier worked out, he scored a goal.
Well, there we are. So you're probably going to go DCL. But maybe Dina, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm going to stay away from Palace. That's just not worth it.
I think looking at my team at the minute, if Bruno manages to last, it might be one last punt on the Bruno train. Like, maybe, you know, Villa and Leicester. If United do... he's been in such shit form, though. Maybe that's just being different for the sake of being different. I think, like, Vardy and Iheanacho, I love having them both, but the killer there is that... because Vardy's priced like 4 million more, you just feel like you should captain him when really Iheanacho's in better form. So it would probably be Iheanacho. But I don't know. There'll be a lot of options this week. It'd be interesting to see if anyone goes for a single game week player. Particularly with Spurs having like Leeds, who could concede. And Spurs and Bale in particular scoring so many goals last week. I don't know. Do you think anyone will have the balls to go single?
Yeah, I think some people will. I think Kane, for example, will be very hungry. He doesn't like to not score. Mm. And since Bale scored and Son scored, he is going to go out there and rock it.
He'll be like, oh yeah, you're in the celebrations here. We're like, oh my God, I'm so happy for you guys. It's amazing. Gareth's back, yay. Crying inside. The meme of like the guy in the corner crying behind the mask. That's Harry Kane this week. Lynn, look, we got through all the questions, we discussed captaincy, we discussed all, I think, most of the big talking points of the week. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
Not in particular. I think we had one question I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah?
It was an actual question. It was a discussion I saw. Because a lot of us are sitting on Leicester players. Mm. What do we do? They got a blank and then shit fixtures.
It's horrible. How many of them have you got?
Two. I've got Iheanacho and Castagnier.
Yes, yeah, Iheanacho and Vardy, so we've both got two. I think it kind of depends on the rest of your team. Again, I think it depends on how urgent or how your transfers are looking, how big a hit you're going to have to take to field a team in game week 36, if that makes sense. But I think for me, while one part of me wants to maybe get rid of single game week players for players with doubles and then singles, so like getting rid of, I don't know, who have I got? Could I get rid of Dallas for Lucas Digne? Or could I get rid of, who else has a single game week? I'm not going to get rid of Spurs, but you know what I mean? Doing that almost feels better because you're gaining a fixture.
Yeah.
But making that kind of lateral move from Leicester to Everton, it feels like, oh, well, I'm not gaining anything this week. But I think if you're thinking a bit longer term, you need to look at 36. So I think it kind of depends on your setup. But I do think if you've got 2 to 3 Leicester players, getting rid of one this week is probably not a bad choice to protect yourself next week, you know? What are you doing?
I think I will get rid of Castagne.
Who for?
I'm looking at Cresswell or potentially taking a punt on Newcastle.
Newcastle?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you left this to the very end. Newcastle with Leicester and City in their next two. You're going to go to, you're debating a Newcastle defender or?
Yep, a defender.
Talk me through this one.
Well, I need to make up some points and I'm just going to target fixtures if I do that.
So you're thinking go to Newcastle.
Well, that would be for the last two fixtures.
Yeah,
that,
yeah,
that
okay.
would be Sheffield and Fulham.
Fair. It's a brave play. Let's see how it pans out. Let me know if you do it. I think like that's one of the. Do I feel like the guy sitting there in the park with a billboard with like a cup of coffee, being like, "You're captain of Newcastle players. You're a crazy bastard. Convince me otherwise." But I'd be interested because, like, I mean, if that pays off, I mean, you're gonna have some serious differential there.
Yeah, like I mean, that's what we've got to do now, isn't it? If we want to gain some rank, it's the end of season. Let's go.
Yeah. Like some of their defenders, the highest owned defender in Newcastle is 1.2%, and that's Lewis. I feel like that's lag from teams earlier in the season, you know?
Yeah, most likely.
He hasn't played in like 8 weeks or something. But look, good luck. I think for me, if we're talking just briefly our team transfers, what a couple of things in my mind, again, I'm going to wait till later in the week to see what happens with Liverpool United, but maybe Bruno leaves, maybe Trent leaves. I think Vardy, it's probably time. I'm holding on to him because of just, I don't know. You know whenever you're holding on to someone because you feel like you've held them for so long, you deserve something back.
Yeah.
And he is giving me like 10 points every third week, but like, I don't know. It's just at the point where I'm holding him because I want to hold him, but I know I shouldn't hold him. I've got this emotional thing going on with Vardy at the minute, but yeah. It could be Vardy to DCL, I think, is... get a couple of bit a few million in the bank. I think that's the move. But I have a second free transfer, so it'd be interesting to see what happens there. Maybe Dallas to Lucas Digne or something. But undecided. So yeah, was that all on that topic?
That was all.
Good stuff. Well look, do you want to give yourself a plug? Like where can people find you or is there anything you're working on or you want to shout out?
Well you can find me on Twitter, lin_FPL.
Perfect. And that's it?
That's it.
Short and sweet. So go and find Lynn. We'll have her tagged in all the stuff of announcing this during the week. And yeah, go and give her a follow. And Lynn, look, it's been a pleasure chatting to you. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.